T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Pete Futek, collegefootballnews.com. Pete, thanks for taking a couple minutes.
All right, first of all, you dog the Cheez-It Bowl all you want in the 9 interceptions. At least they played it. So at least yesterday the bar was set as, are you going to actually have two teams playing college football in a bowl game? They exceeded that level. So in that it was okay. And secondly, I need to introduce you to the sweet and salty Cheez-It box. I'm not a Cheez-It fan, but they have this mix that has like M&Ms and popcorn and stuff in it and kind of a thing. You could pound down an entire box in like 30 seconds. It's amazing.
Pete, I'll give it a go at some point. I was thinking to myself, since the Tostitos scoop chip, I've been shut out of the competition. Nobody can touch it. That is a perfect invention. I want to see the mic drop the guy that came up with that one looked like, where he rolled into the conference room and said, listen, guys, you can have a chip where the salsa goes directly into the chip, and then that takes care of everything. Boom, I'm out.
Until they create a Doritos-flavored Tostito, I'm kind of partial to the other side. However, I'm not going to argue. Many a scoop chip has saved me at a dinner party or here. So, yeah, obviously it's a fantastic product.
So it didn't hurt your football sensibilities last night as you watched one quarterback go 5 of 18 with a million interceptions.
No, maybe, and to get all football-y, not really, because it's kind of what we thought it was going to be. I mean, Cal doesn't have an offense. TCU doesn't have an offense. They both had amazing try-hard defenses, and it was going to come down to Jalen Reagor coming up with one big home run hitting play here or there, and he did that with his punt returns. And it was kind of the sort of game that we thought it was going to be, which was going to be a low-scoring, boring, bad offensive game, and they certainly lived up to that.
Pete, we kind of touched on this yesterday, but since we have you on, I think it's worth revisiting. If college football deems it unnecessary to play bowl games to completion, they could just cancel them at a whim, can any player ever be ripped ever again for sitting out a bowl game?
No, of course not. And that's what this bowl season, for the first time, is really exposing the bowl system and the season as it is for really being a bunch of exhibitions. It's always been that way.
It's a money grab.
At least in the poll and bowl days, at least you could sell the idea of, okay, yeah, you know, if we win this game, are we finish in the top 15? Or, you know, there was something at the end of the rainbow there that gave it something to play for. Now it's just like, you go get your swag bag and you move on with your life. But you're right. That's being blown out of the water. And this has just been a bad bowl season. I mean, the ratings are way down. Nobody's showing up to the games. The games themselves have been all cheesy bad. You know, the good players don't want to play. Our pets' heads are falling off. There's a whole bunch of bad stuff happening this bowl season. So what I'm hoping for is, now that we get to the adult table, now tonight we're getting Miami and Wisconsin. Those are two real teams that are going to play. Now we're starting to get the big boys coming in. So even with half of Michigan sitting out, and even with a couple of other, you know, teams maybe not caring as much, now hopefully the season finally makes that pivot to being interesting.
Do you think that the playoff has taken away some of the luster of the bowls, or do you think there's just too many of them and that's why the interest is down? Or do you think it's just that it's been lousy teams at this point?
I mean, think about it. I mean, how many directional MAC schools can you watch? I mean, I guess there's only one, but the matchups just haven't been that scintillating. Now, with that said, next year things kind of get quirky, because while we're going to have the traditional bowl ties like we have now, like in the Rose Bowl and some of the others, the other minor bowls are going to blow up their bowl ties so they can go out and be free agents when it comes to creating the best matchups possible based on region, based on, you know, fan base, based on whoever they can get. So then we might get some, you know, the matchups are supposed to be a little bit better. But again, part of the problem is people don't like watching the Sun Belt unless you have an investment in the game. You know, people just don't really care about Group of Five programs as much as people think they do. And then it doesn't help when you have the American Athletic Conference, who likes to pump itself up as this Power Six thing, just get pantsed in game after game, and just they're not showing up. So, all right, what else you got? Now we just got to wait for the group of five teams to all play each other.
Joined by Pete Fiotek, collegefootballnews.com. Some other news around college football. Justin Herbert, you know, and I assumed he was going to end up going and leaving Oregon. Now it's yesterday he's going to be staying with the Ducks. And I just read some of the reports and I read some stuff about him. And it just kind of seems like he's almost scared to be as great as everybody wants him to be.
That's it. You know, and I'm going off reports from what I'm hearing from other people, too, is the whole idea that he's just I don't like to say he's not mature enough yet. But, you know, maybe he's not, you know, and maybe, you know, these are still 18 and 20-year-old kids. And if he's not ready, okay, fine. He certainly got the tools. I don't think he's quite accurate enough. I was never the biggest fan of him as being this be-all, end-all franchise quarterback. I certainly think Dwayne Haskins, if he comes out, is a better prospect. He just needs more time. And then the other problem is right now, who are the NFL teams out there that are going to go cornerback hunting, at least in the high end? Maybe Jacksonville, okay. The Giants, probably. But, like, maybe Miami, you know, maybe, I don't know, Cincinnati. I mean, it's not like last year where you knew the Jets, the Bills, you know, the Browns. Yeah, you had all these teams that needed an upgraded quarterback, and now you just don't have that this year. So certainly Justin Herbert just made Dwayne Haskins and Drew Lock a whole lot of money yesterday.
Where does Daniel Jones fit in that discussion then, too? We'll see him tonight with Duke Temple.
Yeah, he's not quite there. He's,
no?
He's
okay.
A very smart heavy player. But as a receiver, maybe, and he almost catches his own pass there a little bit. But, yeah, it's you can't do this if you're the American Athletic. I mean, if you're Temple, if you're Houston getting just destroyed by Army, if you're Memphis and you're losing to, you know, Wake Forest, I call me crazy. I'm beginning to think UCF's schedule just wasn't that good.
I want to go back to Justin Herbert for a minute because I said something yesterday. If I'm an NFL evaluator and you're supposed to go as high as he's supposed to go and he chooses to return to school, I'm not taking him the following year. Like, there's something wrong with him. And we saw it with Matt Leinart where he went back to school. He was supposed to be a top pick, and he said, no, I'm good. I'm staying in L.A. We saw it with Cardale Jones to a lesser degree. He was probably going to be a first-round pick if he came out. He hasn't had much of an NFL career. There's something in the wiring of a guy who, if you can be a first-round pick in the NFL at the quarterback position and you say, no, I'm good, I'm staying in college, to me, there's something wrong with him.
That's the Bill Parcells argument. I think he was the one who sort of hinted at that. It's like, look, if I want a guy, I think it started when Drew Bledsoe came out as a junior, and I think one of his claims was, look, I want a guy who wants to be in the NFL, who wants to get here as soon as possible and be that kind of NFL quarterback. Look, get in the league, let the NFL guys teach you for a year what you need to know, and get paid to do it. The other part of this, if you're Herbert, it's a totally new ball game now where you need to get out of that rookie contract as fast as possible. Once you get past that, you're a $20 million quarterback, even if you can just kind of, you know, walk and chew gum at the same time. So I look at the list of, you know, salary quarterbacks. The top, I think it's 17 quarterbacks out there. You know, everyone likes to rip on Kirk Cousins and the guaranteed money. That's just that's pretty average in his contract. You know, Alex Smith's of the world, Ryan Tannehill. I mean, quarterbacks who hang around the league for a while get paid generational wealth. You got to get there, though, and you need to get that first year out of the way to get to the, you know, year four where you start making all that money.
Pete, it's the last time we'll have you on before the college football playoff and, of course, the Rose Bowl. We'll start with the Rose Bowl. How do you see Ohio State and Washington playing out?
I don't see how Ohio State loses this. Washington's defense, if Washington's defense is able to keep the yards after a catch to a minimum, and if they're able to ground and pound, they've got a fantastic offensive line. Considering Ohio State didn't play Wisconsin this year, this is probably the best O-line that Ohio State's going to face all season long. And they're very, very NFL talented and very, very physical. So what you're a little afraid of, if you're the Buckeyes, is if all of a sudden, if they're not Maryland, they don't have that zone read stuff happening where you have the 10-mile wide holes, but they can just blast away and control the clock. That's what you're scared of, but they don't have an offense. They, in terms of a passing game, if Ohio State could just get up early, Jake Browning's very good. He's going to finish his college career, I believe, at like the 32nd highest, you know, best passer of all time in terms of yards, but they don't have the downfield passing game. And the other key in this game kind of to watch out for is the punting game. As boring as that is, Washington cannot go on long drives against Ohio State, and they don't have a punting game. They don't have a kick return game now without, you know, the Dante Pettises of the world they've had over the last couple of years. And obviously, Drew Chrisman is one of the best in the country. So I don't see how Ohio State loses this unless they completely just gag it away.
That's good news for Buckeyes fans paying attention. We'll start with Cotton before we go to the Orange Bowl. Dexter Lawrence and some of these suspensions. I imagine Clemson's still probably a 10-point favorite after all that news, right?
Yeah, you know, but what's weird about this, though, is look at the ACC. Forgetting what Duke's doing today, the ACC just wasn't that great this season. Give me the really big, massive, you know, three-run home run win that Clemson had this year. They won at Texas A&M, which was certainly terrific. And that's about it. I mean, at least Notre Dame had the win over Michigan to start the season. And, you know, certainly Florida State and USC were down, and Stanford wasn't Stanford. But they do have a bunch of, you know, stand-up doubles there when it comes to their schedule. They played all right. It all comes down to Ian Book and being able to convert third down plays, because against this NFL defensive front, with or without Dexter Lawrence, they're not going to be able to run the ball that well.
And Alabama, Oklahoma, I assume you're all Nick Saban here, but I know you always have a twist and a turn somewhere.
Yeah, the twist and the turn is I do think Oklahoma's offense is going to work. I just don't know how they stop Alabama. Kyler Murray's going to put up 38-ish points. You can hit the big play against this Alabama defense. That secondary can be rocked a little bit. But I don't know how they slow down the Alabama running game. The LSU game this year was kind of the comp where they just lined up and said, okay, we've got all these NFL running backs. We've got probably the first offensive tackle off the board, Jonah Williams. We've got all these talented offensive linemen. We're just going to pound away on you. And I think that's what Alabama does. So I think it's like a 50-38-ish kind of game for the side.
Pete Futek, College Football News. We appreciate the time as always, and we'll catch up with you later, man.
Happy New Year, guys. Have a good one.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.